Hello, you're listening to EXAM, KBI's look into education issues in Missouri. I'm Lee Jian Chung. This week, we visit Russell Boulevard Elementary School, where students are beginning university, specifically Russell University. But first, we speak to the MU Department of Anthropology's newest addition, Napoleon Chagnon, one of the first anthropologists to document the once-isolated Yanomami tribe in South America. His research argued that the Yanomami tribes fought with one another for women, leading to disagreements among his peers. I spoke to Chagnon about the isolated tribes and his conflicts with the anthropological community, beginning with an excerpt from his new book, Noble Savages, My Life Among Two Dangerous Tribes, the Yanomami and the Anthropologists.
The village looked like some large, nearly vertical wall of leaves from the outside. The excitement of meeting my first Yanomami was almost unbearable as I crouched and duck-waddled through the low passage into the open, wide village plaza. I looked up and gasped in shock when I saw a dozen burly, naked, sweaty, hideous men nervously staring at us down the shafts of their drawn arrows.
Is it still possible for indigenous people to be uncontacted in today's world?
Probably not. I probably was the last anthropologist to find a large, multi-village tribe, large is, say, 20, 25,000 people, with multiple villages, 250 villages, living in an area so isolated that they didn't even know that the country of Brazil or Venezuela even existed. All I know is that the Yanomami were really surprised to see foreigners.
And do we lose something from the fact that there are no more uncontacted tribes in the world?
Yes, I think anthropology in general, or anthropology in particular, and knowledge in general about the nature of man has been diminished with the disappearance year after year of tribal peoples. I mean, each tribe is unique, but is able to contribute something to understanding all human beings. And so to the extent that we're losing primitive peoples because they're all being absorbed into nation states and industrial societies, that's a reduction in our continuing ability to learn more and more about the very species that we belong to.
The New York Times wrote that your research on tribal warfare over women was met with, you know, some suspicion.
Yeah, well, some contempt.
With some contempt in anthropological circles because
I remember when I wrote my doctoral dissertation, word leaked that I was tying the development of Yanomami warfare to fights over women. An anthropologist at the University of Chicago by the name of David Schneider was an expert on kinship. He wrote me a kind of a puckish letter and said, "Fighting over women, gold and diamonds I can understand, but women, never." Well, that's like projecting what we fight for in Western or industrialized societies of any kind back into the Stone Age, because we fight over gold and diamonds and oil. Why not assume that the native peoples like the Yanomami do the same thing? Why humans are social is not an anthropological question. It is a biological question, and anthropologists can't answer that question. So you have to know about genes, genetics, why people favor close relatives over distant relatives, and all relatives over strangers. So when you favor a cousin, you have 12.5% of your genes on average in common with your cousin, and therefore helping him get a mate or helping him survive is actually a very selfish act, because you are actually benefiting by doing that genetically. I mean, you are passing your own genes carried by your cousin into the next generation. Studying a pristine society, a demographically intact society like the Yanomami, is particularly germane to many of the problems that anthropologists are attempting to solve about the nature of man.
Every spring, Russell Boulevard Elementary School puts on an event called Russell University. From March 11th to the 14th, students took special after-school classes organized by the PTA. The classes ranged from French to filmmaking to scrapbooking and robotics. KBIA's Bridget Bowden went to Russell University and came back with this story.
It's 4 o'clock and school has just let out. The gym is packed with almost 210 kids waiting for their Russell University classes to start. When Russell parent Rebecca Jones starts calling out names, you can hardly hear her over all the excitement. It's Jones' fourth year organizing the event through the PTA, and her own kids are participating. This year, they're offering 23 different classes. Jones says that she wanted to make sure kids could choose things they're interested in.
You know, we try to offer a big variety for kids with different interests. So we always have two big fitness classes, which are popular. This year we had speed school and boot camp. Obviously, technology is big in every school. And so we offered garage band, filmmaking. We have music classes. Art classes are always really big, too. French, cooking.
One of the most popular courses is robotics with 9 students. In this class, they program robot cars to go through a maze. Librarian Ann Scholes, who teaches the class, says they learn how to work together.
The biggest thing they learn is trial and error, rethinking when something doesn't work, why doesn't it work. They also learn a little bit of math.
Third graders Nick and Keaton tried their robot in the maze for the first time, only to have it crash into the wall.
We're gonna keep testing, and if we probably won't get it this time, but you have to learn from your mistakes and keep trying.
Different businesses from around Columbia come to teach classes. The Columbia Art League is teaching about the intersection of music and art. While the teacher plays different songs, the students try to paint what they hear.
Well, I can hear colors in the music. Like in this song, I kind of feel blue.
While the material taught at Russell U sometimes overlaps with Common Core standards, Rebecca Jones says that's not the point. Her aim is to introduce the students to new topics on top of their normal school curriculum.
The idea is to extend their learning beyond what they get during day-to-day. So we look for classes that are stuff they don't have access or exposure to during their day.
This year, Russell U also offered classes for adults in social media, financial planning, homework help, and personal health. They hope to have higher enrollment in these adult classes next spring. Bridget Bowden, KBIA News.
That's this week's exam. These and other stories can be found on our website, kbia.org. I'm Li Jianchung. Thank you for joining us.